I once heard from Rav Nevesol Shlita the following. He said that he once asked the Ganav, what is a tailor daven for on Yom Kippur regarding Parnasa? So of course the answer is the tailor argues, davens rather, that Hashem will provide him with many people who don't have clothing, or people who need suits and the like. And he hopes that Miss Hashem, his panasa, will be enhanced. What is a grocer, a green grocer? You're familiar with that expression? What is a green grocer daven for? He davens that obviously that vegetables will, in effect, be ripe, and hopefully there'll be a lot of cherry tomatoes and all kinds of other wonderful plush vegetables. But you, he said, the ganav, what are you davening for on Yom Doroy? Well, what's the nature of your tefillah? Your panas is gneva. You're a full-fledged professional ganav. What are you davening for on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur? So he answered, I daven that if there's going to be a gzera, that someone will have, shall we say, achonu litzlan, will be subject to gneva, that will be a... that something will be subject to gneva, so I daven that I should be the shliach to carry out that gzera. I got a kick out of that. So I say, it's not a ganav. He's a tzaddik nista. Wow, what a beautiful individual. He doesn't want to stop ganav. He only wants to ganva from someone that's a gzera, that he should be a ganav. Tzaddik yisodelo. Malach Hashem tzvokos. What a wonderful person. But apparently that kavanah is also not the greatest kavanah. Let me just elaborate on this matter. You'll see what I have in mind. So as the shliach, even though he's the shliach of Hashgacha, of Hashem Yisbarach, but still this is not in order. So now take a look at the Chumash. Look at Perachot Beis. If you have a Chumash in front of you, it'll be helpful. Just to see the Pasuk, and this is Parsha. Perachot Beis, Pasuk. Pasuk Ches. This happens to be a very important halacha as well that the Torah is actually talking about, but I'm going to actually use it from a different, slightly different context. The Torah says over here, you're familiar with this halacha. It actually is not uncommon that a person has a home and he has a roof, and the roof of course is rather elevated. That is to say, you have an area which is 10 tefachim high, so automatically you have to build a makeh. A makeh is a parapet. That's the proper English term to describe it. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. So we see some makeh legadyecha, and the reason the term says is fairly obvious. Well, sasim damim beisecha ki yipo anofel mimen. God forbid, you should not be the person who's responsible for someone chas v'shalom who might fall. Because he is, shall we say, on the roof, and there's no protective kind of guard, there's no marker. So the Gemara right away, the Gemara in Shabbos says to Kasha, the Gemara says, the lashon of the pasuk is striking. It says, "V'lo sasim damim beveisecha, don't shed blood in your house, ki yipo hanofel mimenu." What should it have said? Not ki yipo. What does it mean, ki yipo hanofel? Translate the words literally.
For he will fall
from it. It should have said, "Pen yipol hanofel mimenu," lest he fall from it. That's the reason why you're putting up a makeh. The lashon of the pasuk is seemingly not only cumbersome, but I would say inappropriate, incorrect. So the Gemara says in Shabbos the following statement: the Gemara says that this fellow who fell from the roof, roizel yipol misheshi meberishis, it was already apparently ordained that he should fall from the roof from the very beginning of time, from time immemorial. From Cheshi Meberashis. And what happened? Sharei lo nafal. He did fall. And yet, what does the Torah call him? No fail. The Torah calls him someone who fell. Al Shem Osin. Means, why is the Torah telling us to build the makeh to prevent his nefilah? So the Gemara says, Megagul and Tzvus Aide Zakai, the Chob Aide Chaya. You're quite familiar with that principle. Means, even though that Jew, it was destined, it was ordained that he should fall from the roof and he should die. However, you should not be the one that carries out that gzera. You should not be the shliach to effect such a gzera. That's how Chazal, the Gemara and Shabbos, learns that. Means you should, obviously, not chas v'sholom v'achmanu l'tzlan,
be a shliach, even though at the end of the day it's exera that Hashem is barach wants to happen and everything happens in Hashemayim, but because of you should not be the emissary to carry out that exera. You have to go ahead and make a makeh, know that Chas V'Shalom, no one should fall. And this is obviously relevant to Baba Kama, unquestionably, that we're learning this year, the Masechta that we're learning. And the same thing, again, regarding a person's rechush, regarding a person's possessions. Let's say there's a gzera that God forbid that a person will lose his rechush, that his rechush is going to be taken away from him. You shouldn't be the gana who's going to carry it out. There's a famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. You probably are familiar. Can I just borrow the sitter over there? Thank you. You probably know this Mishnah. The Mishnah says over here, a very fascinating Mishnah. By the way, now we are saying Mishnah Sefer Gyalos. So I assume you're aware of it. Every Shabbos, there's such a practice. I'm sorry?
I thought it was during the older.
No, it also takes place in the summer, all the way to Rosh Hashanah. And guess which parak we're about to say? The second parak, and that's the parak I'm about to read. The first was last Shabbos. And so, fine, you don't have to read. I read the calendar. I'm a rabbi. I have to read the calendar. I have to know what's going on. Otherwise, they catch you. Balabati. Anyway, so here, in the second parak, there's a famous Mishnah. It speaks about Hillel. It's in this Siddur, it's parak Beis Mishnah Bo. I'll also read the translation, the very nice translation here. Afu, Hillel saw, Ra'a gulgolas achash etzof apnei amoyim. He saw a skull floating on the water. Omar lo, he said to the skull, Al de'atef apuch, because you drowned others, they drowned you. V'sof metaykoyef yitufun, and those who drown you will also be drowned eventually. What a mission. Because you drowned others, they drowned you. What's that called? Midah. Kineged Midah. B'midah shadabodeh vodudeh v'sof metaykoyech yitufun. Those who drown you will be drowned eventually. That they'll also be punished, also with drowning. In other words, if the Rotzvim succeeded in drowning the Bala Gulgoles, so obviously, in Hashemayim, he was destined to lose his life. Otherwise, they could not have been Matzliach. There's no way they could have had Hatzlacha, only if Hashem is Barach, so ordained, so decreed. And yet, despite that fact, that the one who drowns them is also going to drown. In other words, the person should therefore try not to be a shliach to carry out Rachman Litzlan, Xeros Ros, even though they were Nigzam and Hashemayim, you should not be the shliach who carries out that Xeros. Let me just say one more thing, if you don't mind this, before I go ahead and open the floor for your questions, which is fine. From the Gemara in Shabbos that I just quoted, you see the following. You see that even if a person, Chas V'Shalom, is a Xeros on him to, God forbid, fall from the roof, from a high area, and die, Chas V'Shalom, but there's no gzera that he has to adopt to fall from this roof, from roof X, from roof Y. He could fall from roof Z. And the fact of the matter is, if he doesn't fall from a roof, maybe Chas V'Shalom will fall into a bar. Baba Kama. Maybe he'll fall into a pit, Chas V'Shalom. Or as the Rishonim say, Tzvei Dinim. Everything is Tzvei Dinim. There are two, shall we say, Dinim. There's what they call a Din Kloli and a Din Prati. There's a general kind of Din, and then there's a specific kind of a din. So even if the klal is nigzar, the prat is not necessarily nigzar. The prat can actually be subjected to changes, to all kinds of shinuyim, and that's why the Gemara says a striking thing, which is also very difficult to understand. The Gemara says on the one hand, Gemara Shoshana Tezayin, the Gemara says that Adam Nidam Rosh Hashanah, a person is judged in Rosh Hashanah, that's when the Yom HaDin, we call Rosh Hashanah the Yom HaDin, that's when the din takes place. But Mitzat Sheni, there's a Gemara there that says, Adam Nidah B'chol Yom. Person is judged every day. How do you reconcile these two conflicting desiderata? Am I judged every day, or am I judged on Rosh Hashanah? And perhaps the Gemara says, Adam Nidah B'chol Shah, B'chol Rega. Every second, a person is being judged by the Almighty, by Hashem is Barach. So the answer, of course, is Pasha. The answer is that the Din Kloli is on Rosh Hashanah. That's when the overall, overarching Din takes place. But the protein, the particulars, the details can change, and that's what the Gemara says, that a person is nidah b'chol yom. Let me just give you examples of this, and then you will both speak. The Gemara gives an example that, let's say, Chas V'Shalom, Klal Yisrael were Rishonim Gemurim. They were terribly wicked on Rosh Hashanah. And so as a result, Hashem decided we're not going to receive rain in Eretz Yisrael. The rain will be limited. The rain will be Rahman al-Islam, sparse. And then Klal Yisrael decided to do tshuva, hopefully between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, during Aser Shem Tshuva, and change our ways and mend our ways so Hashem can no longer err. Because the Gzerah was already chal. It was already Gzerah, Rosh Hashanah. We're not going to have rain in an expansive kind of way. It's going to be very limited. However, what does Hashem do? Hashem now will go ahead and provide rain. But where will He provide rain? He'll provide rain in the places that require rain. But somehow, even though, shall we say, there was a Gzerah, but the Gzerah was a Gzerah Klolis, not a Gzerah Pratz. Let me just give the other, the flip side of the coin that the Gemara says also. The Gemara says, let's say we were Tzahid and Gemurim, and Rosh Hashanah, so Hashem decided we're deserving of a lot of rain, and then we decide to go ahead and transgress and become Chotim in the course of Aser Shem Tshuva. So Hashem cannot go ahead and diminish the amount of rain that He was goes there. But what does Hashem do? So what does Hashem do? He will, yes, He'll bring rain. Where will He bring rain? Into the Arctic Ocean. He'll bring rain in a place which is not necessary. Huge quantities of rain. That's what the Gemara is saying, is that, or in the Midbar, where obviously no one is going to gain from rain that falls in the Sahara Desert. So the Gemara is saying, in effect, that there's a Din Klali and a Din Prati. Rosh Hashanah is a Din Klali, a general kind of Din. But regarding the Pratim, the particulars, the minutiae, the details, that could be changed. That could affect, the press can affect the change, and that's a very significant, and I'll just give one last example, and then you will speak, both of you, all of you, whoever wants to speak, and that is, let's say, Chas V'Shalom, and this, unfortunately, happens from time to time, that you see a car about to run over a child. So if it's possible, God forbid, if it's possible to go ahead and save the child and somehow drag him back from the road, so obviously, that's the ideal. That's, of course, what we're obligated to do. L'osam l'adam r'yecha, unquestionably. But a person should not put himself into a sakana. You know, put yourself in a danger where, God forbid, you yourself might be run over. That would not be appropriate. So there's a certain rule. There are parameters that you have to operate, the parameters of that which is within reason, that you're able to go ahead and effect this hatzolah, then you should do so. If it's going to go beyond that, then of course you should not do so. So, obviously, let's say it's a situation where I cannot possibly effect the Hatzolah, because I put myself, my own life in great sakana. So what should a person do? So what should you do? Scream! Or maybe someone else is in a position to do something that you can't do. If there are other individuals who perhaps maybe have greater kochas than you are, make sure that you, right away, summon them. And let them, shall we say, use whatever kochas they have in order to save the child. In order that the, if I can somehow stop the driver, I should stop the driver. Whatever has to be done, should be done. In other words, when is the time to be mevatel gzeiros kashos? Now. Not mañana, ahora. That's simple Spanish. Right now. Now is the time, this is the season, that one should actually try to scream about all the chas v'shalom, the potential accidents that are going to occur in the course of the year, next year. We have to stop the car in its tracks. This car that's about to, Rahman al-Islam, run over someone, to stop all the piguim, all the terror attacks. After Rosh Hashanah, they're already, it's different because it's after the Zadim. The Gemara says, even though Yafet Sokol Adam Ben Kodim Zadim, Ben Achak Zadim, but unquestionably, it's much more difficult after the Zadim to change. Yes, let's begin. Go ahead. Whatever.
A joke that has to do with the first joke that they share. But Shem throws the game to a wedding, and he was the one aide, and it was like a Lakewood wedding. The other aide was like a rabbi from Lakewood. And they called him up, they called him Shem 3 months, they called up the other aide, he wouldn't go up. So like, they were calling him the aide for like 20 minutes, and just, for some reason didn't go up. Finally, they called him a new aide. So another, the other rabbi, Shem 3 YU, said to rabbi, other, said to the Talmud, the Rav of Shem 3, I was standing next to this aide, and I was telling him to go off. They're calling him to go to the chuppah. He just wouldn't move the entire time. And then, like, shortly after, the aide who didn't go up was found to be, like embezzlement charges, was, like, sent to jail. So he was such an erlicher guy, he didn't want to mitfasel the marriage, mitfasel, and he didn't go up.
What a story.
It was about it.
Tzadik Nista. Not just a Tzadik Nista, Tzadik Begoling. He wouldn't be there. Wow, very beautiful. Shekhar, wow. It was good night to send the shiv, just to hear that.
When ours, I'm struggling, to understand so it didn't happen to Rosh Hashanah. There's a big, like a big trolley. It's like there's a lot of rain, the Jews have been good. And then the Jews suck, and then, let's put the rain. And the Jews are bad, and then let's put the rain like the Arctic, or let's put the rain like Sarah out.
Okay.
I'm struggling to understand it conceptually. How could, why would God be concerned? Like the Gezeirah Klali, if like the divine foreknowledge of the Jews not performing, like what's the point of the initial din if it's just going to be wasted?
Okay, so you're it's not an issue that I can address in the next few minutes. Honestly, I have been discussing this issue with Shuli Har for the last 2 months. Shoot, talking mashma. I'm not joking. I had the great schluss of learning with Shuli in the entire summer, every single day in the morning. He pursued me, what's the word? Ruggedly, relentlessly, with temerity beyond belief, tenaciously. And I wasn't always on time. But at the end of the day, we discussed the issue of free will versus divine foreknowledge and many of the different aspects. So if you and I, and you are obviously a man inclined in that direction, I don't mind doing the same with you, somehow finding some venue, although I doubt I'll be able to spend as many hours as I spent with him. Because what we did was we went through Rishonim, who discussed this topic, and Achreim extensively. And I told him, I'm only going to do it with him if he's willing to read with me the texts of the Rambam and the Ravid, and as well, we also went through Hasidic masters, even though that's not exactly my area, but I decided to do that as well. Rav Tzadok, many others, we pursued the matter. Also, we discussed some philosophic approaches, Aristotle, Plato, things of that sort. But the main issue was the free will versus divine foreknowledge, and we touched on the issue that you just raised. It needs a lot more careful addressing. I'm only using it as a means to an end over here as a hakdama to what I want to say. That's really the truth. But Lee, I don't mind discussing with you. Yeah.
For a din
kali,
can that apply to a single person also, or is it just
the pashtus? I would say yes.
So that
every kali yisrael has a din kali and a din prati. I'll use the example kali yisrael, the best example. For example, why should I daven b'tzibur? Because Klal Yisrael are assured that tefillos will be answered. Avishai David, forget about it. He's not at all assured that his tefillos are going to be answered. He better join the tzibur, otherwise he's in a lot of hesawasa, hot water. So that's a din klali and a din prati. The individual does not know whether Hashem will respond affirmatively or possibly to his tefillos, but the Klal Yisrael is assured. Netzach Yisrael Yishaken. The individual there know Haftachas. But the Klal Yisrael is Haftachas. The famous Meshech Chochma, you're probably familiar with it. Also Briskov says it. The Pasuk Vayechi. They comment on the Pasuk that when Yosef was given an extra measure, an extra chelik in Shechem, V'ani nasati lecha Shechem achad al achecha, asher lakachti b'yad ha'emori, b'charbi, u'b'kashti. I had to memorize that in one of the things I had to memorize. So the Targum translates, b'charbi u'b'kashti, b'tzlusi u'b'usi. Chereb refers to tzlusi, some sort of tefillah. And the kashi, the bow, refers to also tefillah b'usi b'kosh. They say both the briskerov and meshech chochma. What is the distinction between the two? And why the analogy to cherub and keshet? Tefillah b'tzibur is likened to a cherub. Tzlusi. Why? Because a cherub, the moment you draw the sword from its scabbard, and you, shall we say, apply it, it can, shall we say, wreak havoc. It can go right to an individual. A keshet, on the other hand, that represents tefillah of a yachid. Because a keshet, depending on how taut the bow is, the greater the tension, the greater the effectiveness, the efficacy of the bow. So if I'm someone who doesn't have too many schlusim, it's going to be pretty shvach. A shvach amayseh, they say. That's the analogy. That's between tefillah b'tzibur, tefillah b'yochid. That's the din klali, din prati. Din klali, Klali Yisrael is assured that Hashem is going to, shall we say, forgive us. The Navi says, netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. The individual doesn't have any assurances. And that's why we have to join to a tzibur. We have to somehow find ways where we can, shall we say, become part of the cloud. So it applies both to the collective, to yourself, as well as to the individual. Yeah.
Sorry. And so, a continuation of that is if there is a din klali on a person that he's, right, you can have a din klali on him, but then also he said that
the pratim can change.
I don't know if this
and they change by virtue of my behavior, obviously. That
so
can affect
the It's Kri from Bereshit. You said there was
a Mashanik's a Mashesh Bereshit. Correct.
Is that a parat or a klal?
No, that seems to be a klal. So that klal can be subject to change. No, it can be subject to change. And that's the change that we're talking about that Hashem gave us before in this period of time of Elul Yom Narayim, before the Yom Adin, that gave us Chodesh Elul. We have an entire month that we should not fall. An entire month we should not falter. We should not go into the Yom Adin without a chana, without preparation. It's a Chodesh where Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li. Normally, that the situation is Dodi Li V'Anilo. That Hashem is the one who takes initiative and we respond. But Dafkin Chodesh Elul, Anila Dodi, the Chazal, the Gemara says, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. What that request? Yish Hashem b'imatzo, k'ru b'yosa k'ru, call Hashem when He's close. When is He close? During this period of time, especially the Asar Yamin, the Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. And there are opportunities to come close to Hashem. Yeah, I'm sorry.
When you're davening, if you have a decree on you, you could daven and then do tshuva, and then it's not necessarily that you change the decree, it's that you become a different person. So then, how come we can't say the same thing here, and it's not that it has to be like a ring in a different place? It could just be that all Amish are like a different now, and that it could just be a ring.
So there are two different interpretations. Your interpretation is also given by some that as a result of tshuva, so then the Xera no longer applies to that individual because he's been transformed. He's been metamorphosed. He's someone else. He's now a new persona. He's a different person. Some interpret that, but it would seem to me the pashas of the Gemara, as I understand it, is not like that. The Gemara is not saying that. The Rambam seems to suggest what you just spoke about. We have to read the Rambam. I don't have it in front of me. No Chushuva, but if we could like to read, the Rambam says almost explicitly what you say. The Rambam says, the result of Tshuva, so now, Emesh, Lashon HaRambam. Emesh, what does Emesh mean? You have the Hebrew.
No.
Emesh means... No. Emesh is a word that's found not only in the Tanakh. If you remember in the gracious Emesh, when he had a dream, Hashem Amar Elai Lemor, Yishama Lechav Pen, don't harm Yaakov Avinu, Lavan had a dream. It says Emesh. Emesh means yesterday. So the Lashon HaRambam is Hilchos Tshuva. Emesh, yesterday, this guy, before he did Tshuva, Hoya, Mitu'al, Miruchak, he was distant, he was abominable in the eyes of Hashem. Vayom, Munechman, Vidi, Karov, Masig Midvash. Sounds like a total transformation of personality. The Ram interprets exactly where you go. It's Lashon HaRambam Hilchos Tshuva. But that's not the question of Shad the Gemara. What?
So what did he say that there are two different things
that... That's right, that's what it sounds like. It's not explicit.
There's only one.
So it's not explicit in the Rambam. It's not, because he doesn't... I wish he would have addressed it in that Perek Zayin Hilchos Tshuva, that's where he discusses it. He doesn't address it, but it would seem like the Rambam would interpret the way you just described it. But I think the Pashup Shad the Gemara is not like that. If you have these nights. What I'm saying, Din Klavi, it's not my finish, it's the Ramban. So the Ramban knows Pshat the Gemara, the Ramban Teras HaHodom, the Ramban in a few other places, other Rishonim also. The Ramban is a big chiddush. Tremendous chiddush. The Ramban says, Ani hu v'lo acher. I'm a different guy. I'm not that guy who did all those chatoim. I'm somebody else. So this is the opportunity to go ahead and use this period of time of Kurva to Hashem Yisbarach. And there's no question that it's a tremendous matana that we have. Dafka
Yeah. How far can you take that idea of I'm not that guy?
What does that mean? What are you getting at?
Let's say, for example, I sin and then I get convicted in 2 months or something like that, or I get put on trial in 2 months, but I did shuba in between. Am I just not the guy? Get up in front of the base and yo, I'm not that guy. I did shuba. I just gotta say that.
I don't think it's gonna work. What the parameters are, I cannot tell you. It would require, I have to look into it, I have to investigate it much more carefully. There's no question that it doesn't mean that a person should not do tshuva. Of course, he should still do tshuva, but I'm not sure that you would apply this, because you're asking what the parameters are. I really don't know, honestly. I have to investigate it much more carefully. Tshuva is obviously a tremendous matana that Hashem gave us, that literally, the Rambam writes that even on a person's deathbed, you can do tshuva, it's a Gemara Shabbos. And there's therefore a tremendous tviya on all of us. How do you translate tviya? There's a tremendous claim. There's a taina on all of us that we have a chance to do tshuva, and we don't, chas v'shalom, sometimes use these days to feel the connection to Hashem Yisbarach. So it has to be anila dodi v'dodi li.
the more Ani L'Dodi we, shall we say, are able to invoke, so Hashem will also respond, Dodi Li. There's a famous pasuk in Tehillim. You probably know the pasuk. The pasuk says, I assume you probably say it. Kuf Kapal. Hashem Tzilcha Al Yadi Minecha. We say it every night with Kriyas Shema Lamita. I never get that far. Yes, Kuf Chavalos, correct. So it says here in Kuf Chavalos, let me just read the whole, the very famous Tehillim, but there's a pasuk. My familiarity with Tehillim, I have to be honest with you, comes primarily from my father, Zechariah ben Bracha, who said Tehillim, the entire Tehillim every week. And Mr. Brewer actually quotes the beginning of Rosh Hashanah that my father said the whole Sefer Tehillim on Yom Kippur, the entire Sefer, set up the whole night. As he used to do. I actually ran around the shul like a rascal, destroying everything. That was my function. But my father said Tehillim every single week. And Kuf Chaval, Shul HaMal, says, Ha'ini Elaharim, there's a pasuk which is very striking. Hashem Shomrecha, Hashem Tzilcha Al Yad Yiminecha. Translate, Hashem is your shadow, Al Yad Yiminecha, on your right side. Hashem operates with us like a shadow. What does the shadow do? How does the shadow operate? The person lifts up his hand, the shadow lifts up his hand. The person lowers his hand, the shadow lowers his hand. So too, Hashem Tzilcha Yad Yiminecha. To the extent that Ani L'Dodi, Dodi Li. That's how Hashem responds. This chat I heard from Baravaya many, many times. In other words, if I attempt and work hard at trying to come close to Hashem Yisbarach, so again, even though one can never, at the end of the day, there's always room for a continued advancement, but undoubtedly the response of Hashem will also be of a similar nature. And what's very fascinating about Rosh Hashanah, which I always was very intrigued about, and hopefully in the course of, I imagine, Halavai, the next number of years, I'm now working on my second volume of Shai Lavi, but I hope to put out several more volumes on the Mardim. And so this is a topic that's intrigued me. I'm not sure why you are chuckling, but anyway, this is a topic that intrigued me for many, many years, namely, what the nature of Rosh Hashanah is. I always want to know whether Rosh Hashanah is it's a Yom Adin. That means it's fighting. Correct? It's a day of Yira, a day of Pachad, a day of fear. And the person has to feel a sense of Pachad and Ema. Who knows what they're going to write about me upstairs? Who knows what's going to be with my family? Correct? Who knows what's going to be in Klal Yisrael? I mean, we say in the davening, this is not a Rosh Hashanah, Masa, but we say, Alamdinos Lo Yomer, on the regarding the nations, Ezel Acherev, Ezel HaSholom, which one's going to be under the sword, which one will have peace, Ezel HaRav, Ezel HaSova, Uvrios Bo Yipokedo, Laskiyam, L'chayim L'amavis, Milo Nifka, Kayam Azeh, press has to be frightened from the Yom Adin. No question about it. It's very fascinating, Mr. Brewer, he quotes the beginning of Hilchos Hashanah, you're probably familiar with that, I assume you're reviewing those halachas now, so he brings that there are three types of begadim that people have, that we have. One is Bigdei Chol, that we wear during the week. One is Bigdei Yom Tov, one is Bigdei Shabbos. Bigdei Shabbos doesn't even have to be real. The Gemara says in Kol Tisvei that Bigdei Shabbos, they used to wear togas. You could turn the toga inside out, and that's sufficient, because the Bigdei Shabbos have to be moved over, have to be different, so by turning it inside out, they're different. Bigdei Yom Tov have to be qualitatively superior. And Bigdei Chol, and Bigdei Chol, like all these beautiful, wow, look at this. Wow, look at these shirts, they're outstanding, aristocratic, look at that. Gorgeous, wow, look at that plain one. Wow, Masha, wow. Hey, Zemir. Must be in the Babich's shirt. I'm just saying it's beautiful. It's a Balatanya. So these are Videchol, beautiful Videchol. What about Rosh Hashanah?
New.
So it says in Mishnah Berurah, you do not wear silk clothing. They used to wear silk clothing on Yom Kippur. They were like qualitatively superior to other clothing. Mishnah Berurah said, no. Go to Magad Avraham. Not to wear Bigdei Meshi on Yom Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because it's the day of Pachad, of Yira. But is that the only element that's relevant to that day? So the Mishnah Berurah actually quotes the Yerushalmi, that your famous Yerushalmi says on the pasuk here in Dvarim, Pashas Vashana, Kami God Godol, Ashelo Elokim Krovim Elav. Look at this nation. The Torah actually identifies Klal Yisrael in two ways. One is Hashem Elokeinu B'chol Kareinu Elav, which is Tefila B'tzibur, our ability to approach Hashem, and that He responds to our Tefila. Baruch Atah Hashem Shomei Tefila. And the other hand says Kami God Godol, Ashelo Chukim Mishpatim Tzadikim. We're very honest. Not like that gentleman that you described so beautifully, John.
I was very honest.
Yes, that's true.
Did you meet the new person, and what
Okay? But Elokai and Yashrus is something that's very important in our thinking. We have to be glad. That's one of the areas that's very, very challenging for anyone, for all of us, I'm sure, for Klal Yisrael in general, to be glad, to be honest. I remember Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal, that he asked once if we ever encountered the following scenario, which of course, anyone who's in Manhattan, I'm waiting in Manhattan once a number of years ago. I was together actually with Michal, Rabbi Michal Marks, at the side of the Racha, Hashem Yinkom Domo, the executive director of our yeshiva, was killed by terrorists. Actually, I spoke at his second yard site at the Kever this summer. So I'm standing with him, waiting for someone to meet someone. All of a sudden, someone in front of us opens up a table, like right in front of us. And also they're selling Rolex watches. I saw it myself. I had heard such a notion, but I couldn't believe it. The whole thing took about 10 seconds. She stood at the table, and all of a sudden, there's watches all over the place. And people come to say, so I was interested in the Rolex watch. They cost $300-$400, probably more than that. He was selling them for 50. Of course, they probably were all, shall we say, stolen, or embezzled, or who knows what. Who knows what kind of skullduggery he had to do in order to get those watches. A few moments later, all of a sudden, a cop car comes. The table disappeared, and they disappeared, these two chaps, in about 5 seconds. It was like a hair of fire, and I was about to look at a watch, and no watch. I called the alarm. So the Rav said, it's usur to purchase from those people. Usur, because it's gezel, kimat, even though I couldn't say 1,000% that they're ganom, gazlomi, but then we can assume that you sell a Rolex $700 watch for what? I love you guys. Anyway, so there's Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that normally a person goes before a court. What do you do? Lo mishchorim, misatim shchorim, you dress in black, and you completely, shall we say, are in a somber kind of mood, because you don't know what's going to be. What do Klal Yisrael do? Love shim levonim, misatim levonim, we dress in white, and we're somehow festooned, if you will, in white. Why? Because we know, Ochlin shosim esmechim yodim, at the Lashon Yerushalmi is, yodim shagal yibach, also lemisim. We know that Hashem is going to do miracles for us on Rosh Hashanah. And so what's going on? Is Rosh Hashanah a Yom HaDin, or is it a Yom HaSimcha? So what's the answer, of course? Tvei Dinim! As always. And there's a Ramban in Chumash actually that says it explicitly, so in the third volume there should be an article about this, whenever that will appear. But anyway, the Ramban calls Rosh Hashanah Yom Din Berachamim, a Yom HaDin tempered by Rachamim Vashem. I have many rights to this. I'll just bring you one or two. Tkiyah Shofar. Do you know what the basic sound that we blow is? What is the Torah holding Rosh Hashanah? Among its many names? Nomenclature. Number one, Rosh Hashanah. Number two, Yom? Teruah. Teruah. Excellent. Number three? Yom Adin. Anything else? Number four? Yom Zikaron. Excellent. You got all four nomenclatures. Excellent. So Yom Teruah, what does Teruah represent? There are Rabban writes in Chumash several times. Teruah is actually found in Tanakh in the context of Din. You remember? Pasuk in Baalei Yisrael. I became a Balkari recently in my new shul. I have a new shul, Baruch Hashem, and Rambam Chemish. Started about a year ago, and I became a Balkari. Because there were a few people who auditioned, younger people, and I wasn't too happy about their auditioning. And so I asked the rabbi in my shul, he should play.
Did someone say Yom Kippur?
What?
Was someone lady gracious and they said, like, Yom Kippur?
That would have been the least of the problems. Beside the fact they lay without Trump, beside the fact that they decided to destroy the language, they made up new words that never existed, and a few other things. So I somehow the people in my shul couldn't handle it, but especially the rabbi of the shul, I saw he was suffering. And so I had Rachmanis on it, I decided to save him, and I decided to. So I asked the rabbi, like Elaine, he said yes. Anyway, so the... So Yom Teruah, the Ramban says, Teruah refers to Din, because we find that passage you were about to say. The Chisavol Luchama V'Yatzechem Al Atzar HaTzarah Eschem V'Harei Oseh Lashon Teruah V'Chatzotzos V'Niskadim V'Hashem Elokechem V'Noshatim V'Yavechem. What about the other term, Tkiyah? You know, Teruah surrounded on both sides. Tkiyah L'Faneh, Tkiyah L'Acharei. You probably learned Rosh Hashanah over there in Chavetz Chaim. The last paragraph of Rosh Hashanah. So it has Tkiyah L'Faneh, Tkiyah L'Acharei, Teruah in the middle. So what's the key represent? Simcha. Uyom simchas simuadech v'roshech v'chechem uskatem echatzotzos. Lashon simcha. So what do we see? We take the truah, which is din, and what do? We sandwich it. You put it in a George Foreman. And the truah becomes what? You mush it up. What the Rabban calls hamtokas adinin. You sweeten the din. How? By completely obliterating the din. How? You surround it, you engulf it, you encompass it with what? With rachamim, with simcha. That's what Rosh Hashanah is. You have rachamim badin. I bring you another raya. You know, like this raya, I bring you another raya. Kriyas HaTorah Rosh Hashanah. What do we learn the first day of Rosh Hashanah? You remember? What's the Kriyas HaShanah? The birth of Yitzhak. What do we learn the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Harav Hershey? What do we learn? The Akedas Yitzhak. What does Yitzhak represent? Which midah is Yitzhak? Gvura. Din. Pachat. So that's the first day. The birth of Din. And what do we do the second day? We bind Din. Yom Rachamim Badin. That's what Rabbi Chumash. She doesn't bring these Mishabah, but it's Pashit. It's obvious. You take a look at Rabbi Cook. Zatzal. You know Rabbi Cook, my good friend.
Right.
What?
More
that's right. Rabbi Cook Zatzal. Wow. We learned a God of Rabbi Cook. Did you read that biography by Rabbi Lichman? An angel among men?
Isaac is a big fan of
it. Who is?
Mr. Gore.
Oh, Hashem.
Like
good. Cook is we're not even ready to speak about it. But that's how great he is. Pashut, he was the tzaddik yisad elam amal Hashem tzokos. Anyway, so I'm saying that the point I'm trying to make is simply, and maybe I should go back to the did club and did prati. I'll give you the mashal that I always give people, even though they're not happy with this mashal, but I always use this mashal. Even Rachman Lutzan during the terrible, tragic days of the Shoah, of the Holocaust. Where so many Jews were killed, 6 million Jews were killed, tens of thousands. And obviously they were, in terms of the din prati that was on them, that was the exer of Hashem's brother, should be killed. But at the end of the day, who emerged? Klal Yisrael emerged. Klal Yisrael emerged, and we know that Klal Yisrael emerged. Upon the heels of the Shoah, what was founded the State of Israel. The most flourishing enterprise, the most monumental divine act of Hashkochah, according to my humble opinion, in the last 100 years. Those who know me are familiar with my position. Yeah, I'm not familiar, so I decided to apprise you of my position.
I like it.
I believe in it. So there's apparently, you see that what? That you have a din prati on all those Rachman Litzan tzaddikim who died in the Shoah, and I cannot explain, don't ask me to explain that, please, I beg of you. I'm certainly not capable. But on the other hand, shall we say, there's also Klal Yisrael that emerged, and as a result, in some respects, I mean, Pam Zatzal used to say that we find after a time of din, there's always rachamim Hashem. That's unbelievable. A shefa rachamim. We see that in many different tkufas in Jewish history. For example, you see there was the Golden Age of Spain, and then there was Rachman Litzan, the Inquisition, and the Jews were expelled from Spain, from Portugal, from Italy. You know that Abravanel was the finance minister in three major countries. You ever read the biography of Abravanel? It's a very beautiful biography. It's in English, so you can actually read it. My father used to say, you know, there were these two people who were not too friendly towards the Jews, Ferdinand and Isabel in Spain. My father called them Ferdinand and Izzy. Anyway, so they weren't too friendly to us, not too sympathetic to our situation, and we know what happened. Jews were expelled, and then Portugal, Italy, what have you. But then there was another golden age. There have been a number of golden ages, and really I maintain after the Shoah, you see the fact that look what's happened there to Israel, the efflorescence of Eretz Israel, the efflorescence of Torah Shraga, and so many yeshivas, and so many beautiful young men like yourself who Baruch Hashem came to learn Eretz Israel. So there's no doubt that it's true that Ba'ofen Klal Yisrael remained Zakai, there were Yechidim who were Chayovim. That's the way Hashem operates. That's the din Klal, din Prati. You see that in many, many different ways. Chazal, it's interesting that there's a Medrash, I'm just passing here in Emor. We learned Masach HaSikl last year. So I think a little bit you learned about a little bit Esro, Penedal Avinim. So there's a medrash, very beautiful medrash, that says, on the pasuk of the Gavin the Mitzvah of the Tiras Lula, it says, gives a bushel to two people who are Omid Bedin, they're in the courtroom setting, and the people are outside are waiting to see who's going to be innocent or not. So the king goes ahead and makes the following proclamation that whoever comes out with my signet ring on their hand, that's a sign that he's the one who's innocent. And whoever comes out, shall we say, without the signet ring, so obviously he's going to be guilty. So the Medrash says, and this is the analogy the Medrash draws to this pasuk right over here, that Klal Yisrael come out of Rosh Hashanah, and what are we holding on to? We love him as from you.
That's a signet ring of Hashem Yisbarach. That's a sign that we were, shall we say, we prevailed after the Yom HaDin. And basically, you know, the four minim, and you were probably aware of this, that we take on sukkahs, there are remez to the four letters of the Shem Havaya. Yud Kei Vav Kei. Oh, here you are. There are remez to the four letters of the Shem Havaya, and that is the signet ring of Hashem Yisbarach. And as a matter of fact, that's why we hold it together. Especially, you probably say, L'Shem Yichud. I don't, because Lid V'Huda. The Litvishers don't say it, the Briskers don't say it, but the Chassidim say it, because they want to be Mechaber, Yud Kei to Levav Kei. We want it to be all one unit. Don't mind this little esoteric aside, if you don't mind. That's my... What?
I enjoy it.
Oh, good. Baruch Hashem. That's great. Anyway, that is the Chesed. And that shows that Klal Yisrael, we came out Zakai Bedin. We came out, actually, in the judgment of Yom HaDin. We came out, Baruch Hashem, sparkling. So, therefore, once again, let me just summarize what I'm trying to get across. And that is that we know that Klal Yisrael are going to emerge from this particular season, from Chodesh Elul, Rosh Hashanah, will emerge Zakai unquestionably. However, each individual doesn't have any assurances. There's no Avtocha on the Yochid, the Avtocha is only on the Rabbim, on Klal Yisrael, and that itself is certainly a basis for one, shall we say, to make sure that we utilize this period of time to do tshuva, to learn basmada, to do mitzvahs, to do chesed, and the like, and unquestionably Hashem will be in the Zakai at all of us. I just want to end by saying one thing. There's another reason why one should be besimcha Rosh Hashanah, and that is because Rosh Hashanah is the day of coronation. V'yidu l'chol kesem melucha. It's the day that we coronate Hashem as King of the Universe, and the notion, as you know, you're aware that day, who was born on I'll pick it up to you.
I got it.
Who was born on that day of Rosh Hashanah? Chazal, the Gemara, other Rishon was born on Rosh Hashanah. Who was the first one to recognize the Malchus of Hashem? Other Rishon. Now, it's true that we say, I don't know if you say, Asalaji was very makbet to start the davening Adon Olam, and Emel Adon Olam, based on Gemara Brachas, that tefillah requires chizuk. You start the day with Adon Olam, that's what I do in the morning, and I end with Adon Olam also.
Every day.
The answer is yes.
Yes,
I'm talking about that, correct? What did we say there? Adon Olam, Hashem Malach, Beterem Kol Yitzir Nivra. But still, there was no one before Yitzir Nivra, before there was any created being, who was there to Yimakah the Malchus of Hashem? The answer is, Leis Nasa V'chemsel Kol. On day number six, when the Bria was over, and the other Bria was created, Azai Melech Shmon Nikra, that's what he was called, Melech. Because who was the one who called Hashem Melech? The answer is, other Marishon, on that Friday, Echad V'Tishrei, that's Rosh Hashanah, he was Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Melech HaKol Olam. And every year, once again, we have Mamlech Hashem. The greatest simcha imaginable is obviously when a person is in a position where he's L'Tnei Hashem and is being Mamlech Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Melech HaKol Olam. So here we have this great opportunity, Dafke Chodesh Elul, to try to come closer to Hashem Yisbarach, to do as much of Ani L'Dodi as we possibly can, to effect changes in our very personality. Not a simple thing to do. It's hard to change. And the only reason why I know better than you do, only because of my age, and know how difficult it is to effect even a small change in my personality. Very, very difficult. And I just, again, I always tell people and tell myself, although usually I don't succeed, let me accept upon myself a small Kabbalah during this period of time, where hopefully I'll be able to institute this Kabbalah in the course of the year. So what am I talking about? So I once heard from our Nemesol Shlita, he told the name of his Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Zalman Roy Bar Zatzal, that he said, let's make a Kabbalah to daven, to say Birchas HaMazon the Kabbalah. Mishnah Berurah says, in the Kuf Pei Ches, Mishnah Berurah writes, if you daven Birchas HaMazon, you should say it from a Siddur, the Kabbalah, slowly, and if you do so, your Panasa will be assured without any qualifications whatsoever. I don't know if you ever saw HaGoyin of Herschel Shechter Shlita, Shashem Yarech Yomov. You ever saw a bench? Slowly, word for word, almost like in a song-like type of approach. He benches his eyes closed, that's true as well. I've also seen a bench from a sitter, very slowly. He also daven very slowly. You probably noticed that over here that people have to wait. They should, obviously, for the Zohar Ador, unquestionably. And one should try to take that Kabbalah. That's not a difficult Kabbalah. Trust me, it's a very difficult Kabbalah. My father, Bisham, used to sing all the benching. By the time I was a little kid, he used to sing the benching. It took 15 minutes. The moment I left my house, my parents' home,
I rebelled and said, what? It had the same as going on here. So my father said to me, I don't understand you. You eat for 4.5 hours. And a benching is 38 seconds. My pshat is that. I said, the pshat is I'm in a hurry. How come you just became in a hurry after eating for 4.5 hours? Well, I have to go places. I have things to do. I'm a busy man. But only busy when it comes to Beretz Hamazon. Now, the eating, you weren't too busy. It was great. You were fressing away, having a glorious time. So we have to take a good look at ourselves, a little introspection, some things in proportion. And this is a Kabbalah that every one of us should take upon ourselves. A number of years ago, I took a Kabbalah upon myself to daven one tefillah with Kabbalah. One tefillah! I don't mean the entire tefillah. That had to be too much for me. One part of tefillah! One of the halalukas I said I'm going to daven with Kabbalah. Of course, I took the smallest one. You think I succeeded? I'm a dismal failure. I tried. I did. I really did. You don't believe me. So it's not easy to change. That's what Chodesh Shalom is all about. Small kabbalos, small steps. Beis Hashem. Hashem will give all of us siyata d'shmaya to be able to do it successfully. Be zochet to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, melech al kol ha'olam. With great simcha and great joy, the great temple of Midas Hadin and Hashem. You know what? I'm putting the mushroom back over here.